You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the IDP Show. I'm your host, Josh Raymer, joined in the Soul Shack tonight. On my right, Adam Markham. On my left, Bobby Reynolds. Gentlemen, how are we this evening?
Doing very well, Josh.
It's good to see you, Addy. How you feeling, baby?
Yeah, much better. That was rough.
Getting sick as an adult is the worst thing that ever happens to you.
It was tough. Yeah, the wife got Rona first, then I caught it. Mm-hmm. And it was a rough week. A lot of sleeping. But it wasn't as bad as the first time I had it, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
Got a natural immunity.
That's right.
Getting
stronger.
He is getting stronger, Bobbo, as we know. How are you?
Them chills been building to. Yeah.
He finally got actual chills. We knew the moment was coming.
Yeah, it was a solid 24 hours of chills, so.
Was it as great as you imagined it to be?
Yeah, a little overrated.
Yeah. Chills are not that great. Yeah.
Chills are not fun. Did lose some weight, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Hey, it always is nice when you got that silver lining.
Your bod's been great for a while, though.
Hey, he sure has. Understatement of the year right there.
Bobbo was very beautiful today in BG.
Yeah.
The weather or not handle from the local, you know, weatherman here said it was disc golf weather. Did you get out and play any discs?
I got a couple holes in.
There you go.
The wifey had somebody coming over to eat, so I had to, you know.
Hustle it up and get home.
Straighten up.
Yeah. Straighten up.
Flat cut it right. Short.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, that reminds me of I think I told this story on the pod when we went to Keeneland for the wife and I's staycation in like October. I had strep, didn't know it, and was just full body aches, just sweating through the sheets every night, sleeping. Yeah. And she's like, this hotel is non-refundable. Like we are going. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
And then she got it the next week and was laid up in bed. And I had to, of course, you know, hold down the fort while she was sick, but she trotted me all over Lexington like a piece of luggage. Well, so double standard, people.
Yeah, it's you gotta do it sometimes, man.
You just gotta suck it up. It was fun. We had a great time, but I'm like chugging Mucinex and like crushing Tylenol at the same time.
Dude, you're right. I woke up a couple weeks ago, like 2 a.m., just freezing. Went, got in the shower for like an hour till we ran out of hot water.
Yep.
And then got in the bed with like hoodies, sweatpants, 4 or 5 blankets. And then the next morning, woke up at like 8 in the morning, just soaking wet.
Yep. It's so much fun.
Got to sweat it out.
It's what you got to do.
That's right.
That's what they always say. That is the medical advice. Just sweat it out.
It's just signs. I'm just saying.
That's right.
Glad to have you back, though, Adam.
It is good
to have you. Missed you.
It's a different. Nice.
Me and Josh were too
straight.
Too on the road.
Yeah, we needed some curves. We needed some car crashes.
Yeah, I feel like it's already been like, you know, twice as loud as the last episode.
Yes, it has. I'm looking at the levels, just grimacing, knowing I'm going to have to do a lot of work in post-production on this. But we're glad you're here. Welcome into the IDP Show. It is officially rookie season. There's some Senior Bowl kind of games going on right now. I think the Shrine Bowl is coming up or underway right now. So a lot of these kind of all-star showcase games are happening. We're going to have the Combine coming up at the end of February. So we'll be breaking that down on the show as well. But boys, it's officially time to turn our attention to these rookies. So what we are doing tonight is a 2024 IDP Rookie Primer. We're going to be talking about the top, like, you know, 15 or so IDPs in this draft. We tried to mix it up.
Probably 40.
We'll name drop a lot.
So just at different positions, give you all kind of a taste of who the top prospects are for IDP at the various positions. And yeah, boys, Addy, you put in the work in the doc. We got a hell of a lot of notes in here. Why don't you give the folks kind of a primer of like how you set this thing up? What's kind of been your process thus far with these rooks?
Well, you know, I've been looking at all the mock drafts. You know, we're kind of getting into this a lot earlier than we usually do this year. So I've been checking out all the mock drafts of all the experts I trust, like Dane Brugler, Daniel Jeremiah, PFF, of course. Bucky Brooks has put out a mock, Pro Football Network, the Draft Network. Mel Kiper's got a top 10 out there. So I've combined all of these mocks together.
Yep.
And I've got a nice little average. So I kind of have an idea of where these guys are projected to go. Now, obviously, once we get the combine and everything here, that's going to change a lot of this stuff up, especially for these edge rushers, because
yes,
really, really matters. But for the most part, just trying to get an idea of who is valued, what do these experts think of these guys, and yeah, just kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a mock draft is, I think it's helpful. I know DJ explains this a lot. Like a mock draft is essentially putting the players with the teams, mm-hmm. right? And then he puts out his rankings, like these are my top 50 guys or whatever, my top 100 guys.
Big board. But
the mock draft is what he's hearing, right? The Cardinals are interested in so-and-so, and the rankings are what he sees. This is how I would order these rookies. But, of course, rankings versus where they actually end up NFL team-wise is a different exercise altogether.
And you see that, too, when you're watching the draft. You know, you see the whole Mel Kiper or Todd McShay, top 100 or best available at the position. But you're exactly right. Just because, you know, said player might be the best available doesn't mean that the Chargers really exactly need a linebacker at that point. So, good call, Joshy. Well yeah explained.
And these team boards are usually vastly different mm-hmm. from what the public thinks it should be, even what the experts put out there.
And that's been one of the fun parts. The only fun part about social media, I feel like, in the last couple of years has been like a peek behind the curtain for like the Colts and see how,
yeah,
you know, the GM and the head coach kind of coordinate, and seeing, gosh, Les Snead and Sean yep McVay come to drafting Puka Nacua, which was amazing. I mean, those kind of peek behind the curtains and, you know, little snippets into what the real NFL world looks like kind of gives you a taste of what they're going through and what they're looking at as far as a prospect. But, no, this is some of my favorite time of the season, because you're still coming off of the last fantasy year, so we get lots of times to recap and talk about players that let us down. Who do we like for 2024? Who are some sleepers? What's this rookie class going to do? Offensively, we'll probably dig into that a little bit over the next couple months. Who yep we like, wide receivers and running backs and stuff. But this is the cream of the crop right here in terms of IDP show episodes.
This is the hot, fresh brewed coffee, kind of wiping the cobwebs. You just woke up. Like the rookie class coming in, getting the senior games, getting showcase games, mm-hmm. getting the combine, that's yeah sort of like the shot in the arm for fantasy managers to kind of wake up and start looking forward in earnest to the next season. So, gentlemen, let's jump right into it.
Love Ernest.
And that's right. And he did save Christmas for you and New Year's. Let's talk about the edge rushers first, because this is typically the juiciest position because it is the most valued position, this and probably cornerback mm-hmm. of defensive players and positions that GMs value. Edge rusher, I would put at the top of the list. So, Addy, let's kick it off with an edge rusher from, surprise, surprise, Alabama. They do seem to crank him out. I believe this is probably your top-rated IDP for this rookie class. Who are we talking about here?
Yeah, we're going to go with Dallas Turner. Alabama, like Josh mentioned, he is 21. He'll actually be 21 tomorrow. So
happy birthday, Dallas.
Yeah, he's projected to be the first defensive player off the board based on those 7 mocks I've combined. He's going as early as number 8 and no later than 14. So, yeah, Turner's one of the youngest players in the class. We always like guys that play and produce early in their collegiate careers because, one, this means they're good enough to carve out a role immediately. And two, if they are producing and performing well against competition that is likely older than them, it just kind of speaks to how good they are. So, folks, Dallas Turner put up 30 tackles, 10 TFLs, and 8.5 sacks as a freshman in the SEC at Alabama.
Like, this is not like Coastal Carolina or like some small D2 school.
It's Alabama.
It's basically the minor league for the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
And this guy's doing this as a freshman.
Yeah. So Dallas Turner, he's listed at 6'4", 245. He's produced at an early powerhouse like Alabama. He should get top 10 draft capital. He's probably going to test really well at the combine. He's basically already a top 15 edge dynasty asset for me in dynasty. I think he has maybe the highest ceiling of all these edge rushers, and I expect him to probably be a mid second round pick for you in your rookie draft.
Let's say he surprises and gets top 6 draft capital in the NFL draft. Like first 6 picks, we hear Dallas's name called. Could that possibly, and it's a great landing spot, right? Team, you know, edge rusher needy team. Bobo, can you pull up the actual draft order? Yeah. Like, who in the top 10?
So, 101 right now, Bears, Commanders, Patriots, Cardinals, Chargers, Giants, Titans, Falcons, Bears, and Jets at 10.
What are the Titans at?
Titans are sitting at 7.
So, what if it goes to the Titans?
Titans, Bears have a definite need.
Yeah, what are the Bears at again?
8.
8?
Yeah, no, the Bears are at 1 and then at 10.
Okay.
Oh, no, sorry, 9. So right now, DJ's last mock has Dallas Turner going at 9 to the Atlanta Falcons.
I could see that as well.
That'd be good.
I think they definitely need to have think he gets one. Top 10 draft capital, and look how many edge rusher needy teams are in that group. Mm-hmm. Does that possibly bump him into the back of the first round? Or is the offensive talent to the point where defense is getting squeezed out?
I think the offense is pretty good this year.
Yeah.
Tons of good receivers. And in your super flex leagues, I mean, there's like 3 quarterbacks that are definitely going to probably be, you know, top 6 picks, I'd say.
Yeah.
But yeah, just offensive wise, I think there's a lot of really good receivers. Tight end, you know, Brock Bowers is out there. He's going to be a first round pick. So I wouldn't think that we're going to see any IDPs go before the second round. Or
now, in a 1 QB, maybe.
I wouldn't.
I still don't think so.
You think all the QBs go first round in a 1 QB league?
No, but I still don't think that. I'd still be surprised if the IDP cracks the top 12.
Interesting.
In 1 QB.
I mean, I think, I don't know whether Adam's going to do it or not yet, but my mock will come out again here in a couple weeks for IDP leagues, offensive and defensive combined. But I think you've got 8 wide receivers that you're going to have to consider in the first round. I'm sure we've talked about this. I think there's going to be one running back that probably gets some draft capital or gets a really good landing spot that will have his draft value rise. But then there's Bowers is insane.
So that gives you 10.
I think the Texas tight end is also going to see. You're going to see him test really well at the combine. I can't remember what his name is
Sanders,
right now.
Sanders, I think.
Yes. I think he's going to test really well. I think you're going to maybe have another top 12 tight end decision to make there. Would I take a Dallas Turner or maybe even this next guy in the first round? I don't know. I think you're going to see some people get kind of greedy in 1 QB leagues and think they're getting cute with maybe a Drake May or a Caleb Williams. I don't know that I like them to that level yet. I mean, we'll find out here after the combine and kind of see what some NFL, you know, smarts think about what these guys could be in the NFL. But I don't think you're going to have a Dallas Turner like you had a Will Anderson last year.
Yeah,
Will Anderson to me was in that 107 range. To me, Dallas Turner is going to be exactly like what Adam's saying. You're looking at the first or the second round.
Okay. Well, what was your take on Dallas Turner, Bob?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, same kind of thing Adam said. You know, I always get this wrong. Objectively or subjectively? Watch this just by myself. I don't look at any other opinions. Just kind of what I think of a guy.
I think maybe that's objectively.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Dallas Turner is really impressive. He pops off the screen. He's really good in the run game. He's a guy that gets a lot of tackles for loss. He has the ability to really overpower linemen when he needs to. I think really he's more of an outside linebacker than he is like kind of a prototypical edge. My comp, don't hate my comp because, you know, and if you hate it, I don't care. I don't really care what you think. Mine's a little junior Khalil Mack, just a baby Khalil Mack. Not Khalil Mack. He's not going to be the first overall pick in the draft, but he's got little shades of Khalil to me.
I like that. Comps are helpful for this. The primer is for me. I am listening and learning from these two guys tonight and just asking questions. And it is objective.
Okay.
Means verifiable information based on facts and evidence.
I knew it was. That was
objective means information or perspective based on feelings, opinions, or emotions.
You passed.
So there you go. Objective.
We hate feelings and emotions.
That was a tough one, though. Yeah, feelings and emotions. Get the hell out of here.
So you think that Dallas Turner could be he's the IDP to maybe have out of this draft?
I think all these, like these first 3 edge rushers we're going to talk about, I think they're all going to be pretty good. I like them all. Yeah. I mean, I'm not really going to probably chase any of them. I'll just take whichever one falls of the three. I think all three of them will get top 20 draft capital.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, let's talk about this next guy out of Florida State. This is one of the few guys I knew about because he has a very cool name. Edge Jared Verse, Florida State. Tell us about old Jared there, Addy.
All right. So Jared Verse is Daniel Jeremiah's 14th overall player in the draft. I'm just going to read what he has here. Verse is a rugged, twitched-up edge rusher with thick, powerful build. At Florida State, he moved around the defensive front. Against the pass, he explodes off the edge and tries to run right through offensive tackles, doing so in two different ways. He will stutter to get the OTs off balance and then charge right through them with his hands, or he'll simply bury his head in the blocker's chest and walk them back in the quarterback. He does that so many times.
Does he?
Yeah.
It is sick. Mm-hmm. It is sick.
That's cool.
Jared Verse is power. Mm-hmm. Just straight up power, explosive first step, really, really strong hands. Like if you put your hands on him, he'll just swipe them away. Mm-hmm. But Jared Verse is a lot of fun. He's a fifth year senior.
I was gonna say, a little older.
He's 23.3. So, like we mentioned, Dallas Turner was 21. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Jared Verse had an interesting career. He actually wasn't a highly recruited guy. I don't think he was had any stars at all. He started his career at Albany State.
Wow.
He played there for 2 years, performed really well.
Yeah.
But obviously it wasn't the competition that is at Florida State. So, yeah, he bought out though at Florida State. I mean, production-wise, he's one of the more productive guys in this class. His last 2 years, he has 18 sacks and 29.5 TFLs.
Pretty good.
Pretty good run defender as well. He has 89 tackles over the last 2 years, so he could be a guy that has a nice little floor for us in IDP. But he's just high motor dude, powerful dude. Like, I don't know he's going to be like a sack artist, but I think we could see him easily be like a, you know, 60 tackles, 10 to 13 sack type guy.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty valuable.
That's pretty good.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. Bobo, what'd you see out of Mr. Verse?
Yeah, same thing. Me and DJ both said he was twitchy, and
you said it first.
These eyes
don't lie.
Beautiful eyes.
They are objective.
Bobby's came out before.
You've seen them DJ's. Subjectively. These they eyes, are beautiful.
9 out of 10. But yeah, twitchy, and I agree with what Adam's saying. You know, he is like he's probably the most instinctual, most classic type of edge out of this group. Great motor, super strong, really good swim move. My comp is he's not going to get to this point, but I kind of wanted a lot of my comps to be guys that were like. You know, we know right now. I don't want it to be some 1980s linebacker that was, you know, pre-me. A little baby Danielle Hunter, okay?
There you go.
You know, I kind of got shades of Danielle when you're watching Jared
Verse. Did you factor in size with your comps at all?
Yeah, I kind of looked and, you know, tried to look and see weight, tried to look at, you know, height and everything, and just kind of the style that they play in. And I know Danielle has been really, you know, a really high-producing sack guy over the years, and I agree with what Adam's saying. I don't know that you see any of these really heavy sack years out of Jared Verse, but dang, he is a lanky, good-looking edge out of this class. I mean, there's going to be a lot of GMs that fall in love with this guy. DJ right now has Jared Verse mocked at the 109 to the Chicago Bears.
Ooh,
to pair him with Montez Sweat.
That would be beautiful. If both of these guys get top 10 draft capital, do they go first half of the second round?
Yeah, I think so. And it's all, you know, going to depend on, like, if you're scoring rewards, these edge rushers, right? You know? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think most people listen to the show, that's probably the case. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I have no problem taking him early second, honestly. If you have a need, I mean, this is going to be someone that I think both these guys,
yeah.
Turner and Verse, I think both those guys are going to be, like, you know, back in number ones for you.
Yeah.
As far as edge rushers go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you think about, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson comes to mind. I'm pretty sure he went in the second round
yeah.
in our rookie draft, right? And now, like, you are thrilled. Will Anderson,
yes.
right? About to win defensive rookie of the year potentially.
Yeah.
And it's like, you feel great if you have these guys.
I think so. I think that's probably where they should go. You know, like, we're going to talk ourselves into a lot of these receivers, but really they're going to be pretty risky.
That's what I was going to say. What's the best slam dunk kind of ROI chance that you can take?
It's taking one of these guys who was just drafted top 15. You know?
Yes. I want to fall back on draft capital the further along I get in the rookie draft, because it's just going to give these players more opportunity.
And I feel like a lot of the bad landing spots hurts the offensive players more than it does the defensive players. Because here we are talking about two bad teams getting Dallas Turner to the Falcons. We love that. Mm-hmm. Jared Verse to the Bears. We love that. But all of a sudden now in this mock we have Marvin Harrison, who looks like a freak, to the Cardinals. That's not super great if you want to ask, you know, my opinion. And then Rome Odunze to the Chargers. You know, Herbert's fine and everything, but, you know, neighbors here in DJ's mock to the Giants.
Please bring him to Indy.
Yeah.
Imagine him paired up with Anthony Richardson.
He's not going to last that long in the draft. God. But, you know, you're going to have a lot of these spots that do you really want a Malik Nabers on the New York Giants with Daniel Jones? I mean, you're obviously going to take a guy like that over these IDPs, but some of those later wide receivers are going to get some gross landing spots that are going to make you question that kind of stuff.
Well, and then offense, you have to scheme those guys open.
Yeah.
Right? Defense. You can just, I feel like the rookies are better set up to succeed because they're not dependent upon having the ball thrown their way, right? If you have good instincts like an Ivan Pace Jr. And you can get on the field, you can make stuff happen.
Yeah.
No matter the team.
And I also feel like Turner and Verse are going to be the two that they get playing time week one. Like, I feel like you get a top 10,
Top 10 pick is going to get run.
You get PT.
Unless they just can't hack it, like it's or they're injured like a Tyree Wilson.
Yeah.
Right? So we don't want any of these guys to pop a hammy or even worse, like a meniscus or God forbid, like a biceps or an Achilles or something at the combine. Hopefully everyone stays healthy, because this seems like a pretty interesting group of edge rushers here. Let's move on to the next guy, though, and talk about Liatu Latu.
Got it.
From UCLA, 23.1 years old. He is a junior, 4-star recruit. Addy, tell me about Mr. Latu.
He has been tearing it up at the Senior Bowl this week. So, talking about recent news with him. Apparently, everything coming out of the Senior Bowl is he's looked amazing, looks like the best edge rusher there. And that was kind of expected, I think, by most folks. But let's start with the PFF stats for him. 94.3 pass rush grade last year. That was first among all edge rushers.
Wow.
26.3% pass rush win rate. That was first among all edge rushers. He has a career pressure rate of 18.5%. That's 136 pressures on 735 pass rush snaps.
18.5%?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was...
What a beast.
He was a stud. Now, the concern with Latu is he suffered a neck injury during... This was, I think, back in like 2021. But during fall practices of his sophomore year, team doctors did not clear him, and he had to actually retire.
Wow.
Yeah. But eventually, I think everything, you know, it's very similar to Jalen Phillips. It seemed like at one point his career was over due to injury.
I was wondering why he was a 23-year-old junior.
Right.
That seems like...
Also, with the COVID stuff, some of these guys opted out of that year, so you're going to see a lot of, like,
that's true,
five-year seniors.
Isn't there a guy that got a seventh year of eligibility?
Probably so. I think Peyton...
What's
his face? The linebacker. I'm blanking.
Yep.
Bobby will look it
up. We'll get to him, but he's like a six-year senior.
Oh, wow.
Adam's favorite linebacker.
Yeah.
He has like three kids and a mortgage.
Now, production-wise, he was also really good.
Peyton Wilson.
That's right. Yeah, six-year senior, I believe. Production-wise, though, Latu was really good. He has 23.5 sacks over his last 2 years. He also has, looks like, 34 tackles for loss over that same period. So, as productive as it gets, it's really him in verse as far as the production goes. Now, the one thing with Turner, though, out of these three, Turner was the guy that produced early and immediately.
Yeah, and he's youngest.
And he's the youngest.
Yeah.
I mean, it was at Alabama.
And I would expect a guy, these older guys to perform well at these kind of showcase games, right? Because, I mean, they have more experience. They're probably bigger, stronger, faster. Yes, it was Oklahoma State QB Alan Bowman got a seventh year of eligibility.
Wow.
Because the math is 4 years of eligibility, one COVID year, one standard redshirt year gets you to 6 years. You can also get a medical redshirt to get you up to seven. That should not be a thing, NCAA. You should not be able to play almost double the length of your college career.
Hey, so he was like 24? Just
probably, yes.
Bullying around 18-year-olds.
These guys that can't even drink going up against a guy in his mid-20s.
Hey, some of us make it make 7 sense. Years, though.
That's true. Those are called doctors. You
know? Sure.
Or Tommy Boy. Let's move on to this next guy here, Bob. I'm going to let you kick us off this next guy, because I know you are a big fan of this edge rusher out of Penn State. Who are we talking about?
Yeah, old Chop Robinson. What did we say his first name was?
His old nickname was Pork Chop.
Okay.
They just shortened it to Chop.
Okay. Yeah.
We still don't know his first
government
name.
His government name is Pork Chop.
Oh, yeah. It starts with a D.
Okay.
And it's a real, like, you know, a name.
So we're going to go with Chop.
It is a real name. It's not Pork Chop.
We have an edge here, Chop Robinson out of Penn State, 6'3", 253. I have here that Chop has to win with speed because he really isn't the biggest guy. You know, exactly like Adam kind of led into, you've got Turner. I think there's the top two. I think you've got Turner in verse. There's going to be the injury stuff that kind of knocks Letu a little bit, probably to like the 10 to 20 range in the NFL draft. But Chop's speed off the line is really good. He seems to be a really smart player. I feel like he's a better than average edge in the run game. My comp for him, I don't know how, you know, you got to be kind of degenerate to understand this one. And I can't even say his last name, so you might have to help me, Josh. But it's Tuli Tuipulotu.
Tuli Tuipulotu.
So the edge there in Los Angeles, I kind of see some similarity with him and with Chop. Let me give you some breakdown here on DJ's mock. So DJ has Latu going to the Rams with pick 19.
Okay.
And then saw Chop there to Houston, which would essentially assume that maybe they can't sign
Jonathan
Grenard.
Grenard is out the door.
Let Grenard walk and then bring Chop in. So, honestly, I would like both of those landing
spots.
They're
also losing pretty much everyone behind Grenard and Anderson. Yeah. I think the rest of the edge group in Houston is free agents.
Yeah.
So
my one concern about Chop, he needs to test well. He needs to go to the combine and he needs to run a good 40. He needs to have a good three cone, and then he needs to look really good in drills. I don't know what your thoughts are on him.
Yeah, Adam, let's hear it on old Chop.
Yeah, I mean, I like Chop. He is going to be one of these guys that I think skyrockets up the board here after the combine. He's just not very productive.
Yeah.
You know, he was not very productive at Penn State. Across 30 games, he only totaled 11.5 sacks and 20 TFLs.
That's not great.
So I don't like that. You know, if you look across at all the edge rushers we know and love these days, Nick Bosa, Michael Parsons, Max Crosby, Aiden Hutchinson, Will Anderson, TJ Watt, Miles Garrett, all of these dudes were productive early on.
It's almost like production early in your football career, at least at the collegiate level, is a good indicator of future production.
Sure.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, it matters.
If you're good at something, maybe you'll be good at something professionally when you're getting paid money for it.
Yep.
And maybe it can be your full focus.
But yeah, I like Chop Robinson. I mean, he's projected to be the fourth edge off the board. He's going as low as 19, and I haven't seen him go after pick 35. So, I mean, I think you can pretty safely assume he's going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And that's probably someone you'll be able to get. Like, the one thing is Chop, the name Chop is going to, that adds around. Yeah. So he's going to be, so I was saying, oh, maybe you can get him in the fourth. You're not going to be able to get him in the fourth.
He's going to be in the third.
He's a third rounder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with Latu. Latu, the name is hard, but he's going to be a mid-third.
If you have a cool haircut, you know, especially white guys like mullets or something, you know.
Or this next guy.
Cool name.
But, you know, also.
Cool tattoos.
I'm thinking last year in RSO, Van Ness and Will McDonald both were available in the fourth round. So it could happen. You never know.
Yeah. It doesn't worry you, though? Because, I mean, what? I would be curious. You may not have this pulled up.
I won't be targeting Chop.
Yeah, I was going to say, does the lack of production worry you?
Yes, of course.
That seems like
of course.
Because I think you could overlook, right, maybe less than desirable arm length or speed or something for an edge rusher if they were prolific producers.
Now, we will talk about this, and Adam has said this for years, but you let people fall. So far from who we've talked about, you target Dallas Turner, you target Jared Verse, but we're going to let Latu and we're going to let Chop fall to us. Now, if they fall to a certain point to where it's just like, all right, I'm okay to grab a guy like Chop and let him maybe sit and learn for a year, especially if he's going to the Houston Texans with D'Amico Ryans. I mean, that's a pretty primo little setup, but I'm not targeting a guy like Chop. I'm going to let him fall to me, and if it's a good situation, then I'll draft him.
Here's another thing that scares me. I was listening to the NFL Stock Exchange, which is fantastic show. I would recommend that for everyone out there trying to, you know, sift through these rookies. But Tampa Bay Trey, at Tampa Bay Trey, of all of the offensive tackles that he recorded a pressure on, only two of them had a pass blocking grade above 66. This is for Chop Robinson.
So wow. Most of the guys that he was generating pressure against were not good.
Not good at all.
Okay. Mm.
So really cool little nugget there that I found from that show. But he's going to be someone I'll probably avoid.
What if he gets really good draft capital? More intrigued? Same level of interest?
I think he's going to get good draft capital. And then the combine will you know, if we see this dude put up like a 10 ARS or something, we're gonna
get a good landing spot.
We're gonna be a little more excited. We're gonna dig into the table a bit more, I'm sure.
But we're gonna be talking in like on the Monday after the draft episode of like Chop Robinson. He could be a third round pick now.
But yeah, I just don't like the no production or the limited production, you know. Mm. When you see someone that's this guy's gonna be the fourth best edge in the class, you expect to go pull up the stats and you see, he had 30 sacks at Penn State. But
what conference is Penn State? Big Ten?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pretty decent conference.
Yeah. But it's one of the Power Five.
It reminds me of like OA. Same thing at Penn State. Yeah. Did not put up the stats and was a really nice athlete. I think he was like a high nine.
What I was gonna ask is how many guys that are valued edge rushing assets in IDP and Dynasty did not produce. Yeah. In college, I would guess that list is much smaller than the list of guys that you just rattled off who were all hyper productive in college. So, all right, so that was the edge rushing group. Let's keep it moving and talk about Adam's favorite player in the draft. I believe this is your birthday compadre, Addy. Who is next up here on the primer?
Before we do that, actually,
I step all over my segue.
I'm sorry.
That was beautiful.
We may have to go back and redo it. But I did want to, since we kind of just finished up the edge guys, and it was kind of a perfect little thought there. I combined all of the statistics for like the top guys.
Oh, okay.
So we can kind of go through like the averages. So the data that I'm averaging right now, the edge rushers that I put into this average: Nick Bosa, Max Crosby, Aiden Hutchinson, Will Anderson, T.J. Watt, Miles Garrett, Josh Allen, Kayvon Thibodeau, Jalen Phillips, Brian Burns. Nice group.
That's a very good sample size.
Okay, so the average height among this group is 6'4.5".
I was going to say 6'4".
The average weight?
Let me say 245.
258.
258. Gosh, that's big.
Average arm length?
I don't know.
Arms 34 as well. Inches. Okay. So, I mean, that's that's long.
That's
long. The average 40 is 4.65.
Okay.
And again, these are 6'4", 258
mutants.
Guys,
sure. You know.
The average 3 cone is 7.
Wow.
The average vert, 36.5.
Let's go.
The average broad is 9.63. The average RAS is 9.8.
9.8.
So those are the things you want to keep in mind when we're watching these combines.
As far as like benchmarks, as far as like
exactly
this guy
traits,
clears
right?
You know? These benchmarks.
So that's just
a chance to be elite.
That's just the measurables and stuff. But also I want to look at the production too. So I also went through and combined all of the college production for these edge rushers. So the average tackles per game was 4.1. The average sacks per game was 0.67, and the average tackles for loss per game was 1.11. So I wanted to kind of see like how do these guys stack up, you know. So the guys, looks like Jared Verse was very, very good.
Is this all in the spreadsheets, Addy?
This is all in the spreadsheets.
Wow, truly a freak in the sheets.
Wow.
By the way.
So impressive. Jared Verse tackles for loss per game 1.25.
That's nice.
Like I said, the benchmark was 1.11.
So above.
Leitu was at 1.06 tackles for loss per game.
So a little bit below.
Dallas Turner was at 0.86.
Okay.
And then sacks, Dallas Turner was at 0.59. The benchmark was 0.67. Verse was at 0.79.
There you go.
And Leitu was at 0.73. So
so
all these guys are right in there.
Verse was the biggest producer of the bunch.
Yes, but also like, you have to remember that Verse did play at Albany for 2 years.
That's true. You know, it's like Cam Newton. Cam Newton playing in the Division II school,
and he's older. He's older than all these guys.
That's true.
Like that is not something that really is similar to the guys on the list above him. All those guys above him were like 3 year players, pretty much out of there after their junior year. Verse is going to be one of the older prospects we've seen in a while.
So I think Latu sticks in there a little bit.
I think they all do. I think they all stack up really, really well. Yeah. I was, you know, expecting to like find something and be like, you know,
one's like pulling them. Yeah.
This guy's out of the list, but or this guy's not off the board or whatever. But no, I mean, I think they're all intriguing and I think they're all going to test well. So, I mean, I feel pretty confident in this. These three, at least.
All right. Jump in the spreadsheets, folks. Go to Adam's Dynasty Rankings. There's a link to the spreadsheets in there. You can see what Adam was doing as he recovered from COVID, besides shivering.
That's right. I couldn't talk to anybody. I couldn't really be around anybody.
That's true. He was just in isolation, just grinding the spreadsheets for 23 hours a day.
Hopefully that made sense, but...
No, that's good. That's like benchmarks of both production and traits that you want to look for. That's helpful, Bobo.
I was going to say, too, that there's also on the website... I don't know if you have to sub or not, but you have gone in and seen where all these guys were mocked based off of Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks. You've got several others, and then it kind of gives you an average of like, okay, you know, Chop Robinson is going to go about this point in the first round, or Latu is going to go about this point. And it's not super helpful.
Also interesting to see the variation and where these guys have them ranked, right?
And all these guys like them differently. I mean – we like these guys here, and in a month or so after the combine, it might be completely different. All of a sudden, Chop Robinson might be the number two behind Dallas Turner because Jared Verse didn't run the 40 well. I mean, we're just kind of giving you the tools to prepare for.
What is helpful about the combine, too, is not only the testing coming out, but the insiders and the draft nicks are there with all the movers and shakers.
Yeah.
The GMs, the coaches are there. They're swapping gossip. They're talking about guys they like. So, the draft nicks will come out of the combine with totally fresh new takes for these mock drafts because they learned not just how these players stacked up physically, but who certain decision makers like.
Well, and I always think that in DJ's mocks too, to where like I see Chop Robinson here to the Texans and it's like, all right, that's really cool for Chop. But it also makes me think like, what does DJ know maybe about Grenard not being there? You know, and he writes here and potentially Jonathan Grenard playing alongside him and Will Anderson. But it's like, do you know something? And maybe the Texans are not going to be able to retain Jonathan Grenard. So DJ's really like deep into the NFL. Like he got some real pull and actually knows some real people that give him education on how he mocks. So
yeah,
I pay a ton of attention to what DJ says.
So can we move to your favorite player in the draft now, Addy?
Yes.
All right. Your birthday mate, right?
Yeah. Birthday boy.
All right. Who is it?
Cooper DeJean.
Great name as well.
Yeah, out of Iowa. Shout out to our boy Eric Harms.
That's right.
I know he's, I'm sure, a Hit huge
it.
Fan.
Hit it.
I don't know which one it is. It may be...
Yes. Hey, guys.
Such a good pull.
Somebody call 911. I don't feel so good.
Yeah, maybe if Cooper DeJean goes to a bad landing spot, that's going to be Eric's reaction.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's landing spot proof,
yeah,
man. This guy... just a natural athlete, man. He's projected to be the 8th defensive player off the board. He's going as low as 15, but I've not seen him go later than 28. Let's just kind of start with his background because it's insane. In high school, he was a team captain as a sophomore, junior, and senior on the football team. He played DB, wide receiver, and quarterback, and he holds his high school records for pass completions and passing yards in a season, career passing yards and passing touchdowns, receptions in a game.
Is he throwing to himself?
Maybe so.
Baller.
Receptions and receiving yards in a season, touchdown receptions in a career, and total yards in a season. He lettered in basketball 3 years, baseball 3 years, track 3 years. He's the class 2A long jump and 100-meter dash state champion. That was his senior year. In basketball, he has 1,832 career points. That's 55 points ahead of Harrison Barnes, who's in the NBA. check out his highlight reel for basketball. It's sick. Dude is really, really good. Just a natural athlete. I mean, you see that when you watch him. Like, the dude is just good. Like, sometimes when you see him going for an interception, it looks like he's like the receiver. You know, he's a natural. I think the main conversation we're going to see with Dijon is, what position does he play? Is he going to be a cornerback, or is he going to be like a safety type? And I think he can do everything. I don't know. He was really good as a corner, like on the outside last year. Mm-hmm. And he pretty much exclusively played outside. But the year before that, he did, you know, more of like a safety type deal. He still played outside, but he played a lot more box, a lot more slot, a lot more like free safety. So just a versatile player, and just a natural athlete. I think he's gonna fit well with pretty much any team.
So is this like a Minkah Fitzpatrick, Brian Branch type of situation?
Did you read ahead?
I did. Yes, I was gonna say, is that why you comped him to Minkah?
I mean, you know, when you think about when Minkah came into the league, like, he kind of came in as a corner.
That's why the Dolphins traded him, because they just couldn't figure out what to do with this guy.
Yeah, and then slowly the move in Miami became him playing a little bit more safety, and then all of a sudden they started putting him in the box. I don't understand why Miami let Minkah go. Maybe they couldn't pay him. Anyways,
I just think they couldn't figure out where to put him.
Yeah.
That's, remember all that? Was it Minkah's mom was like, they aren't using my baby right? Like, get this guy to a team that knows how to use him.
Yeah, Cooper is Cooper's fun, man. He's one of the best athletes in the draft, and he's just a baller, you know? I mean, not only does the high school, you know, resume speak for itself, but it's also interesting if you are in a league that measures punt and kick returns. If he starts returning punts or kicks, it's going to be hilarious how much this guy could put up. Who wrote this here? Is this DJ up at the top? One of my favorite lines here that he says, he's also an excellent punt returner because of his combination of speed, elusiveness, and bravery. And I think that's
bravery.
Awesome. I love the bravery when you're returning punts, man.
You see the comp that DJ gave him?
Yeah.
It reminds him of Eric Weddle coming out of college.
Ooh, that would be sick. Pretty nice. That's a very good comp.
I don't think that the whole conversation of corner or safety is going to matter for Cooper Dijon. I think both of them could be valuable.
What if he's slot corner or...
Exactly.
And I think we're seeing over the last couple of years that the whole cornerback model is changing. You know, you've got Devon Withhimspoon. You know, we've got even the guy before him. I was really interested in Reek Wolin. He was a freak that... You know, tested insane at the combine, but we've got just like Legarius Sneed. You know, I mean, we could do this forever. And especially when we're talking about in terms of best ball, we're talking about, you know, dynasty leagues, you know, redraft leagues that are on sleeper where you've just got DBs and you've got corners that are just scoring a ton. The whole corner, you know, we're not going to really talk about them that much because it's just corners. Like, no, if you're listening to this show, you're going to hear us talk about corners because they're going to win you a lot of your best balls, they're going to win you a lot of your dynasty leagues. Corners are relevant, and
they should matter. It's like think about it now. You know, like, where would you take Withhimspoon now? Yep. If you could redo the draft, like, he would be one of the top five IDPs, right?
Well,
yes,
easily.
I think about it too in terms of like value. You start thinking about trades and stuff, and where it's like I have Legarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie, and I think about like, wow, I could probably trade them for an edge right now, like probably a decent edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I don't know. That's just the world that we're living in, where you know.
Corner. Well, we don't want to because it's a nice little advantage you have.
Absolutely. So you were talking about NFL draft if they redrafted last year's rookies?
No, I'm saying for IDP. So like in our IDP drafts last year, our rookie drafts, Withhimspoon was not drafted.
Exactly.
Right? But I think if you redid that draft, I think he's probably, like when we do the redraft with Macri.
Mm-hmm. He's a
third round pick now, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. 100%. You
know? So I think that's the same thing you need to be thinking of with Cooper Dijon. Even if he ends up playing outside corner, you don't need to be like, I can't take him before round five. You should. Especially if he's going to be one of these guys that's getting these high leverage snaps, playing close to the line of scrimmage. And we know he's a playmaker. You know,
exactly.
We've just waxed poetically about him. So, I mean, this is the type of guy you want to have, I think.
Now, here's the problem. You're listening to this show. Thank you. How high is too high?
I mean, like, late second, you know? Is that where he ends up creeping up into?
Yeah.
Probably.
If he's there in the third round. I've got like four third round picks.
Yes.
I'd be looking at some Cooper Dijon.
Historically, you look at XFL specifically, Derwin James, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Jeremy Chinn, Kyle Hamilton. I don't know when Kaham went.
Second round.
Brisker was probably a third.
Sometimes they sneak through some of those guys. You know,
a lot of those safeties go in the late third, fourth round.
I think you're sitting there 306. Cooper Dijon is still hanging there.
That feels about where you're going to go, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we should mention we're going to be doing some rookie mock drafts here soon on the show.
Yeah, I got to say this because
we might not have many
more players here to in the mock, but Cooper Dijon to the Arizona Cardinals, which makes me think like, huh,
They need
DJ
all
probably
the
knows
help
Buddha's
they can.
Gone and Cooper to the Cardinals. Hey,
well, Buddha is a I believe a free agent.
He's just got a huge
will be a free agent
number next year.
Yeah, I could see them cutting him if he isn't actually under contract. His contract's weird. I can't make heads or tails.
We just talked about it. I think that it's like a $19 million
hit. He's
going to
get
cut. If
they
cap, you know, hit him, it's like $3 million or something like that. He's going to be gone.
Yeah, he'll be gone. So
we just talked about this, Josh.
So Cooper DeJean. Is it Cooper DeJean or Cooper DeJean?
No one knows.
No one knows. It's a mystery.
No one knows.
DeJean reminds me of like Borat, like Vagine.
Yeah.
Like it's a fun name to throw around there. I was thinking too, how weird do you feel as Cooper DeJean being like, yeah, a bunch of dudes now all over the internet are talking about what I did in high school.
Yeah.
It's just kind weird. Of it's kind of a weird
in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, thing that yeah. we're, you know, they're gonna be pulling out all these nuggets like, oh, in middle school, he was actually averaging, it's like you're talking about what I was doing in middle school. What?
Hey, we care, man.
And
we
it's
love
like
those multi-sport athletes.
But it's like, did you think Cooper DeJean in like eighth, ninth grade was like, I wonder if someone will be talking about this? It's like that Louis C.K. joke of like, this is going to be in the Bible, right? Yeah. Like, are you yeah. thinking about that in the moment as you're Cooper DeJean? Like, huh? I just put up 45 points. I might have a prolific high school basketball career. I wonder if Daniel Jeremiah will talk about this at the combine.
Mm.
It's just kind of bizarre. It's kind of a bizarre thing. Thing to be like, oh, and he took his high school date to prom, and they had a great time. And Cooper DeJean's a great dancer.
I'm sure. I guarantee he was.
Oh, yeah, you know he was.
He got swag.
I know he was pulling.
Is it
all
just
kinds of tales?
Is this just because he's your birthday mate?
That's right.
You feel a special kinship to him.
That's right, my brother.
That's right.
Love you, Coop.
So let's move on to linebackers, though. And it doesn't feel like this linebacker class is super sexy, just based on. Kind of my initial run through
right.
of the notes that you all have put together here.
Well, and when you look through the mocks, like these guys aren't being drafted high, and I guess everyone knows, you know, positional value. Like no one really cares about these linebackers anymore. So you're not seeing. I haven't seen. I don't think any first round linebackers.
Mm-mm, I haven't seen
in
any
of the mocks.
Mocks. Yep.
And then like maybe you get one in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just not. It doesn't seem like it's a very good class. And anyway,
there's a ton of free agent linebackers.
Yeah.
I don't think teams are going to prioritize
right.
that.
That's another good point. Yeah, I mean, it's just a position that no one really cares
and
about
And I
anymore.
Think it needs to be taken into consideration when you draft these guys because the last couple of years, you know, we've really been burnt by these rookie linebackers,
exactly.
Expecting them to get a lot of play. I mean, we probably expected Jack Campbell to see more play than he even did last year, and he was by far – I mean. Where was he taken in the first round?
18th pick, maybe.
Yeah,
late teens.
He went like back first in some leagues.
Yeah,
and he was early second, I think.
But I'm saying in the NFL draft, he was the 18th.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
I can look
but
it up.
I mean,
yeah.
like, yes, you're right. He was back first in some IDP leagues, and then second rounder, and that's just kind of a disappointing pick when you've really just got to sit on that. And some of these guys are just. You know, here we are. We've talked about Deion Henley. We're talking about
number
your boy
pick,
in Denver.
Doran Williams, Drew Sanders, exactly.
Minimal playing time. So just, that's all I'm saying. Just
it
who
feels,
we talk about as far as linebackers, take that into consideration.
Well, and it feels like this is depressed even from what last year was.
Exactly right. Because
yeah.
last year, you know, it was Sanders and Campbell both were getting mocked like in the first, it seemed.
Yeah.
This year, you're not seeing that at all. And also just like, I don't know. I mean, we just, like you just mentioned, we just saw all those guys – underperform.
And Campbell had
a little bit
juicy
of rookie linebacker fatigue a little bit.
And we were like, dang, Campbell to Detroit. He's about to play so quick.
Yeah, Anzalone's
and like,
gone. And then Anzalone's a pro bowler.
And Anzalone's going to be there next year, too.
Yep.
So that's going to be a continued
problem. And so is Derek Barnes.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I think. Yeah, I'm not going to be chasing these linebackers. I don't
so
think
why,
anymore.
Yeah, it's like, why would you spend high rookie draft capital on an asset that's not going to probably return value until year three?
Yeah.
Year four, maybe?
You know, I was thinking about this, too. I don't know if I told y'all this. I think I did put it in the thread. But Sleeper makes it really hard to where if you're in a dynasty IDP league, and I've got some people at this point to where Unreal hasn't quite yet rolled over, but shout out Nico, KFC league from last year. You've got a lot of offense that you're starting. You got a lot of defense that you're starting. Then you have a really big bench. And I have guys that I picked up at the end of the year like Christian Barmore, Malcolm Kuntz, Nick Herbig. You know, guys in that kind of realm to where it's like, am I really about to draft this linebacker and drop Nick Herbig? Like, probably not, you know? Yeah. So you kind of – the size of your roster and the amount of bench spots that you have – plays into a lot of like whether I want to sit and wait on a Chop Robinson for a couple years.
Yeah, those kind of leagues, I feel like you, if you don't have a taxi squad,
yeah,
it's really hard to justify holding a lot of those
even
guys.
On a taxi squad, I mean, if you got a relatively active waiver wire, some of these guys can be hard to hold on to for a very long amount of time.
So now that we've talked it up, let's talk linebacker. And let's
some of these guys are cool.
With a Michigan boy that I'm sure Kyle B. can tell us more about. But, Addy, why don't you give the folks an idea of the number one linebacker on your list?
I don't know if I'd say he just was in this.
I was going to say in the dock. Yeah, he is the number one linebacker we're discussing.
Don't you put the word in my mouth.
This is Adam's number one, locked and loaded.
I like that. Peyton got quite a bit.
He's got experience.
Yeah, Junior Colson, mm-hmm. out of Michigan, 21.2 years of age. So he's one of the younger linebackers. He's a 3-year
just
junior.
Just started drinking.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Cheers.
Cheers, brother.
4-star recruit coming out. So, I mean, he had high expectations. Was also pretty productive in college. He immediately got playing time at Michigan as a freshman. 60 tackles, 5 TFLs, and a half sack as a freshman. So, I mean, I like that quite a bit. And then the production ramped up the next year, 101 tackles, 6 TFLs, 2 sacks as a sophomore, 95 tackles, 2 TFLs as a junior. And then, you know, he's going to bounce. But PFF grades also pretty good. 81.7 this year for Michigan, 75.5 in 2022, 48.5 in 2021, but he was a freshman.
There you go.
So he's one of these guys, right? He's probably going to be like a late second, early third pick, early third round pick. So, I mean, he's in that same range as last year, the Drew Sanders, the Dorian Williams, you know.
Which I don't know. I mean, I'm fine to grab those guys with like a fourth and just wait.
Right.
But, man, spending third round or higher capital on linebackers and rookie drafts just feels like a fool's errand at this point.
And, I mean, it could definitely change if maybe, you know, Colson ends up getting like second round, like early second round capital. Maybe we talk ourselves into it. But for the most part, I don't think we should.
But think about the linebacker. You could make a case as the highest dynasty stock coming out of his rookie year. It's an undrafted free agent, and Ivan Pace Jr., right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's just like, man, I don't know anymore. This last year really kind of scrambled my brain on the rookie linebackers, Bobo.
Well, and exactly like what you know, led into this with, that I don't know that we've quite seen a free agency class in terms of IDP quite like we are this year. So you're going to have to ask yourself, is your team about to roll out a Willie Gay, who's now got 4 years of experience in the NFL, or are you going to grab a Junior Colson and you know, try to let him lead your team?
That kind of makes me feel like a lot of these linebackers are just going to be parked behind veterans and maybe have a shot in year two, year three.
And I think that you're starting to see, too, that I think these teams are starting to realize that it's best to just grab these linebackers and let them sit and learn, because they threw my boy, you know, Isaiah Simmons and Patrick Queen and Jordan Brooks and, you know, all the like Zaven Collins. They threw them to the Wolves pretty early on, and they were made to look a fool.
They drowned.
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you that we talk about it here, and the NFL, you know, actually talks about the game slowing down and everything getting slower and processing it a little bit easier. This guy's 21 years old. I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah, what'd you see out of Junior?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's very athletic, really versatile skill set, in my opinion. He shows patience and power in the pass rush. He has the ability to cover tight ends and backs when he needs to. I think he has a really good head on his shoulders. He's really smart. You know, with some time, with some knowledge, I think he could end up being the green dot for a team with some time. I don't know if I like my comp or not. My comp's a little bit shorter than him, but similar to like a Dre Greenlaw. You see this guy make a lot of tackles in the backfield, especially on the run. Colston's pretty quick. I think he's going to test pretty well in the 40. Again, we want to be up on these guys, and we want y'all to be knowledgeable, but we don't want to oversell too much. Like Colston, but, you know, probably with like a 4th-round draft pick. Sorry.
No, it's hard to predict these linebackers, right?
And we've learned.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you know, we talked about all those 10 or 12 edge guys I listed off earlier in the show. Like, all those guys, like, had very similar traits. You look at, like, if you do that with the linebackers, like, it's the averages are not as tight, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's
the skew is larger.
It's just tough. So, it's hard to predict, like, which ones are going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's a hard position. I mean, it's a very hard position to play in the NFL. They expect a lot out of these linebackers. You got to be able to coverage. You got to be able to play the run. it's just tough. And so it's just harder to find these guys or know which ones are going to be elite for us in IDP. So
could you see Cooper DeJean going in rookie drafts before any linebacker goes off the board?
I don't know that we will, but I think we probably should. I think people still are – they're still just going to be, I got to get these linebackers. Yeah. I can't even look at a cornerback until round five.
I can't even look at them.
Especially a white one.
Exactly. Hey, thank God Cooper DeJean's coming in to rescue the white team.
I know.
In the Race Bowl.
I know. We're okay now.
Cooper DeJean's stepping right into a starting role.
I think we're favored now.
I think we're favored. Yeah. Cooper swung it with all his basketball and track background.
That was our only weakness, and we shorted up.
Only weakness. It's true. Like, we would get, like, Tyreek Hill would be basically 40 yards of separation from whoever was trying to cover him.
No more.
I mean, because who would that be, even? I don't even know. Reed Blankenship?
He'd be on there for sure.
He'd be a starter. Can we get Weddle out of retirement?
Maybe.
God, we're in deep, deep trouble. Let's move on to the next guy here out of Texas A&M. It is, yes, Pabo.
Let me lead him off.
Okay, go for it. So Edgerrin Cooper.
Let's talk about Edgerrin Cooper here. Texas A&M linebacker, 6'3", 230. Really decent speed for his size. Plays better off of the edge, I think. Can also be used in the run game. He's a really physical player, knows how to close in space. Here's my thought. I think just by watching some quick tape, we could quickly look up and see that Cooper might have been one of the best IDPs to come out of this draft. Now, again, I don't want to overhype this guy. I'm not saying that we need to grab him with a second round draft pick, but I think that Cooper has the ability. He has the physical size. Adam will talk a little bit about his Texas A&M stats and everything, but the metrics are all really good. My comp for him is kind of a little hybrid Hassan Reddick. The dude gets some tackles, but he also gets the tackles for loss and the sacks, which I love to see. So
yeah, eight sacks in 2023.
I'll be really interested to see where Cooper where he finishes in the combine, like where he compares with the class, and then kind of seeing what the hype could possibly build up for Cooper pre-draft. Because I feel like Cooper's the type of guy that could rise after a little bit of time.
Yeah, I like Edgerrin Cooper quite a bit. Daniel Jeremiah has him as his 20th overall player. So
that's pretty good.
He's very high on him as well. I saw a comp that I think you'd like, Bob. He was comp to Ernest Jones.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I'm interested.
Yeah, guy that's a good tackler, has, you know, some nice pass rush ability. That's kind of what Edgerrin Cooper is. But Josh mentioned he had 8 sacks this last year at A&M. He also had 17 TFLs with 84 tackles. So, I mean, the splash plays, like, he's the type of guy that could win you a week. I like Edgerrin Cooper. He's probably going to be, if he feels like someone that I'm going to end up falling in love with, you know, after the combine. Yep.
Second round pick, daddy. I can just see it right now. Cooper DeJean's off in the corner, just dancing his little white ass off, tears running down his face.
We're going to get back in the draft for you, Coop.
He's going to be slow dancing with Edgerrin Cooper. Yeah, you trade one Cooper for another.
That's right.
You're breaking hearts out there, Eddie. All right, yeah, I'm intrigued. If this guy's drawing Ernest Jones comps and racking up 8 sacks and 17 TFLs to go with 84 tackles, that's pretty nice. Let's kick things over to your 11th year, I think, redshirt senior there, Eddie. Who's the next linebacker on the list?
Peyton Willis.
No.
I'm sorry. Peyton Wilson.
He still has brain fog, people. He still has the COVID brain fog.
He was just powering through that.
Peyton Willis.
Like, that doesn't sound right.
Sorry. There was a little misfire of the brain there, you could tell.
We're still learning these guys, you know? Peyton Wilson, NC State, 23.8 years of age, boys.
Wow. Well, that's what happens when you're a sixth-year guy.
Oh, right. To be 23 again.
I know. Seriously. I know. Yeah, he was a six-year senior. He was a four-star recruit. I'm just going to read here what DJ has about him. He is a height, weight, speed linebacker with excellent instincts and playmaking ability. He has the tools to play stacked in the box or as a hole defender in space. Against the pass, he is fluid in his zone drops. He relies on his eyes to jump routes and get his hands on the ball. He has the speed, agility to mirror backs and tight ends. Mm-hmm. Going to be a good player, I think. He's someone that has been extremely productive in college, probably the most productive linebacker out of all these guys. He did play a lot of years, of course, but
that helps.
He racked up
1,200 tackles.
Almost 402 tackles. That is definitely the most tackles. Some of the highest tackle numbers that I've seen out of a college linebacker. 15 sacks as well, 48 TFLs in his college career. So, I mean,
not too shabby.
A guy that can tackle, a guy that can get in the backfield.
And he only played two games in 2021, it looks like.
Right, right. And I think he's going to test really well. Yeah, sure. I found another nice little nug about this guy. Mm. Hold on 1 second, boys.
I think it's interesting. DJ said he was a height, weight, speed linebacker. That's kind of interesting.
He's like 6'4". And then here's the speed part. 23.4 miles per hour on GPS during a game, running down a player to make a tackle. That was the highest ever recorded at NC State.
I was going to say, anything above like 22.8 or like if you get into the 23s on GPS, that's really fast.
That's like Tyreek. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's really fast.
So,
for that.
I think Peyton Wilson's going to be one of these guys that I end up liking quite a bit, too. It's probably going to be him and Edrin Cooper as my two favorite. It'll
be him
homies.
And Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, and Cooper DeJean as well.
My two white homies.
Team Cooper.
But I like him. I like him. He's you know, the production stuff is all great. And it's not just that he stuck around. Like, he was immediately productive when he got to NC State. And then you read all the stuff about him being a leader. Uh-huh.
Did he have the captain's patch?
Probably.
Ooh, probably. He's over there for 6 years. God, he better have the captain's patch.
Yeah, I would think so.
If not, that's a really – that's a big red flag.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he probably did everything he could do there at NC State.
Yeah.
You know?
He got a couple master's degrees, working on a doctorate, electrical engineering degree. Bobo, what do you think about this guy?
All things Adam said. Good tackler. Better than average speed for somebody who's 6'4", 268.
That's a big boy.
We'll see.
That sounds a bit
heavy.
We
got the combine to give us these measurables. I've already some of these guys have already not what they projected. Like, because the Senior Bowl they actually did weigh-ins and stuff.
I think he has some of the best smarts of any of the linebackers in the class. Seems to always be in the right spot.
He weighed in.
Yeah,
6'04", 234.
234.
Okay, way different.
Wow.
6'4", 234. Yes.
I don't know where I'm pulling from. My comp, Troy Anderson.
I like it.
I think he'll test well. I think you're going to look up and that RAS is real nice. Going to be healthy.
Like looking up at that RAS.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Real tasty. 10 out of 10 RAS.
Let me talk about this next linebacker.
Please do.
This is the one I'm a little hot and bothered for.
Because old Clemson boy.
Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Clemson linebacker. 6 foot, 230 pounds. I think Trotter's best trait is avoiding defensive linemen when he rushes a quarterback. He has kind of a quick twitch ability that you see more often kind of in running backs in space. You know, he has the ability to kind of miss linemen when he's going for the quarterback. It's kind of weird. Has the sideline beating speed with the ability to QB spy when he needs to. He's a great tackler. He has the run-stopping ability. My comp is getting a little hot and bothered. So, again, I don't care if you don't like these comps. This is what is who I think about.
This is what's in my heart.
This is who these eyes see when I watch them.
These subjective eyes.
You know? So, keep it to yourself. My comp is Nick Bolton.
Okay.
And I know that the Clemson linebacking trail has taken us down some rough beaten paths in the last couple of years.
It's taken a beating.
We're lost in the woods.
This path has some cars crashed.
Hey, some hope.
Hey. But we're going to come trotting back.
I was going to say, and the pedigree here.
Bring it around.
Pedigree here is off the charts. I mean, you got a dad who played 12 seasons in the NFL.
Stunting like his daddy.
Third round pick by the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. He went to Stephen F. Austin, the dad did. So
where is that?
That Texas? Is, I think so. It's the Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks, which is pretty. That's a nice, nice mascot.
Stone Cold.
That's right. So, yeah, I mean, I think it is weird. I mean, how many sons of former NFL players do we have in this draft?
Tons.
A lot.
Marvin Jerry Harrison. Rice. Yeah, Marvin Harrison.
Jr.
Trotter.
Leonard Williams.
I think Jerzon Newton is a son.
Is he?
I think so. I think his father was also a D-tackle. We'll talk about him here in a minute.
Getting Marvin Harrison, the first ever player I selected in fantasy football, his son.
Marvin
now?
Harrison?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. First ever draft.
Leonard Taylor, Chris Jenkins, right? Didn't he have a dad that was there?
I'm sure he has a dad.
Wait, Leonard, who was the first guy you said?
Leonard Taylor.
Is that Lawrence Taylor's son?
No, I think there was another.
That would be
Leonard
bigger,
Taylor.
Bigger hype.
It's think. Leonard Taylor the third. I feel like there was Leonard Taylor the second.
He wasn't very good though.
We don't talk about Leonard Taylor the second. He knows what he did.
Isn't Frank Gore has a son
in
this
does.
Draft?
He does.
Is Marshawn Lynch's son in this? There's another.
Does Marshawn Lynch have a son?
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't.
Maybe it's his cousin or his nephew.
I mean, Marshawn's
not old enough. He's not old enough.
I don't know.
Yeah, he just exited the league.
Yeah.
You could.
Is he 40?
Marshawn? No, Marshawn's not 40.
He could have a kid.
But how old is Marvin Harrison?
I mean, Marvin Harrison's probably in his mid-40s.
He killed a person, too.
Yes, he did. Marvin Lynch is 37. So, yeah, you could have a kid. Absolutely. But I would say, I'm sorry, Marshawn Lynch, yeah, is 37. Marvin Harrison, I'm going to say, is like 45,
So Marshawn
maybe?
Couldn't have a kid.
Okay, so maybe it's not Marshawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Marvin
There's a lot
Harrison
of guys
senior.
That have a lot of dads that played
no,
in the NFL.
Marvin Harrison is 51.
Wow.
He had his son, I guess, a little bit later.
Man.
Yeah, because his son is, what, 21?
Yeah.
21 years old. So he was 30 when he had his son. So there you go.
I would say watch the tape on Trotter. Just go see what you think for yourself. I really like the tape on him. I really like the tape on your boy Peyton. The tape on Cooper is really fun also. Colson's tape is okay, but I don't know that Colson will be the first. If I had to rank them, if you were to say today, you know, how do you want these guys? I'm probably going to say Cooper 1. I'm probably going to say Trotter 2 just because I like Trotter more than Peyton, but they're both about the same. And then I'll go probably Peyton and Colston. I don't think Colston will be a
– They're all right in there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really –
You're probably talking like 308 to like the rest of the draft at that point. Somebody gets really good draft capital, mid to late third, okay. Because I do think outside of like the main wide receivers, it's a pretty weak – I mean, the running backs are pretty bad this year if you want my opinion.
Yep.
You've got your pretty high quarterbacks. You're going to have a couple tight ends, but the draft gets pretty watered down about mid third. And there will be some – I mean – Malachi Corley is going to be a wide receiver that came out of Western Kentucky.
Very excited about him.
Woo-wee. I can't wait. Little junior Debo, I think people are calling him.
That would be fun.
Can't wait.
Love to see the Colts snatch him up in maybe one of the later rounds.
All right, what do you think about this next guy, Adam? You a big fan of Jerzon?
Yeah, we're moving to defensive tackle now.
Yeah.
Sorry if you weren't ready.
No, I do. I think he's pretty good. 21.4 years of age. He is a fourth-year senior. He was a three-star recruit. The production was pretty good. It looks like I forgot to screenshot that in there.
That's okay.
That's all right.
We're just going to take your word for
it. But he was, you know, above average as far as production goes for a defensive tackle. It is always hard to kind of find guys in college at his position that produce prolifically.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, he was good. I think he had like, I feel like he had like 8 sacks, close to that, something like that last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is a guy that I think he's going to be drafted probably within the first 20 picks.
So right now DJ's mock has Jerzon going pick 28 to the Buffalo Bills, which would be fun. Him and Ed Oliver playing alongside each other.
I was going to say, I pulled it up for you, Addy. So he last year had 7.5 sacks, 8.5 tackles for loss, 52 total tackles. The year before, he had fewer sacks, 5.5, but 14 tackles for loss and 62 total tackles.
Mm-hmm. So that's good. That's good production
that's
for
great
for a defensive
production.
Tackle.
18 sacks for his career at Illinois and 27.5 tackles for loss, 187 total tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And only played 7 games, it looks like, his freshman year, and then 12, 13, and 12 games. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's good production.
Yeah, this is the guy I think that was getting comped to Gerald McCoy.
Yes.
And my only issue with Jerzon, I mean, the college numbers are okay. I'm just worried that he's going to be the type of defensive tackle that is better for an NFL team than it is for IDP production. I don't know how many tackles and sacks this guy's really going to stack up, and I don't know how elite of a pass rusher he really is. I think he's going to be a good NFL player. I just don't know that he's going to be a Jalen Carter.
It's just hard sometimes to suss out these defensive tackles if they're going to be productive. Because we saw Kalijah Kancey and Jalen Carter, right, that are dynamic defensive tackles for IDP. But who knows if he's that or if he's just the run clogger.
Yeah.
You know?
What did you say his stats were in college? What was his total sacks? Do you have that pulled up still?
Yeah, so his total sacks was 18 total sacks.
What about TFLs?
TFLs, 27.5.
Okay, so, I mean, you look at, like, the top big boys – So Quinnen Williams, when he was in college, he put up 10 sacks and 26 TFLs. That was across 24 games.
Yeah, and this guy has, let's see, he had 12, 24, 37, 44 games, okay. I think, 44 games.
Guys like Jeffrey Simmons put up.
You got to scroll over, people.
Seven sacks in college. So, I mean, it's hard to really tell, like, how some of these guys are
going to produce. Defensive tackle, I feel like, is the hardest position to project as far as, like, what are we going to get out of this guy? Sometimes it's a slam dunk. Like we saw, like I mentioned, those two rookies.
13.5 for Ed Oliver in his career.
I mean, that's some good production from an interior defensive lineman.
Kalaji Kansi had 16 sacks in college.
Yep.
But both of those guys were like, Kalaji Kansi coming out was already getting the Aaron Donald comps. You know?
Yeah.
Not hearing that out of most of the details.
Yeah, Gerald McCoy comp is not bad.
It's pretty good.
It's a guy I want to hang out with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's move to the next guy here. Byron Murphy, Texas, 21.4 years old, 4-star recruit. Addy, what's the buzz on Byron Murphy?
Good buzz. Good really buzz. Good buzz.
I wasn't talking about how do you feel right now. I just said, what's the buzz on?
Let's just see Mr. what old Murphy. DJ has to say about him. Murphy is a very explosive, nimble, and instinctive defensive tackle. He is dynamic. He is a dynamic disruptor against the pass game. He explodes out of his stance and can roll his hips on contact, creating instant push. He consistently gets underneath blockers and prevails in the leverage battle. Dude's huge. Mm-hmm.
I love the descriptors that draft Knicks use. What is it? Roll his hips? Yes. Like, yes. What are we talking about
hip
here?
Rolls.
Is this like a dance term?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's like 300 pounds.
Yeah. Got oily hips. I wish I had oily hips.
Brugler said he is disruptive against both run and pass. Murphy had the best pass rush win rate, 19.6% among all interior defensive linemen in 2023. No other DT was above 17%, so that's good.
So he had, in his career, it looks like this is 3 seasons at Texas, 7 games the first year, then 13, then 14. He had 8 total sacks, 15 tackles for loss, and 70 total tackles across his career. Mm-hmm. So not quite as prolific as Jerzon, but he also played one fewer year.
Yeah, for the most part, most of these defensive tackles are not going to be very productive. Like Jerzon was the most productive out of all these guys. So.
It is interesting that Murphy potentially might run a 4.7 at 300 pounds.
Wow. Yeah.
A 4.7.
Yeah,
40.
From Brugler. Pretty mid 4.7.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Good so, golly. What did you see, Bobbo?
Yeah, same thing. I'm worried. It's not going to translate. Great NFL player, but maybe not somebody that I'm really targeting for IDP.
Not going to be drafting him in IDP.
Yeah. I agree.
We just got to talk about them because, I mean, they're going to be highly drafted.
Yeah.
And people need to know because you may hear, like, who was the guy for the Cowboys that got first? Mozzie Smith, right? Like, Mozzie Smith, you may see, oh, my God, Dallas? It's a great defensive line, great defense. First-round pick, this guy's a slam dunk for IDP, right?
Right.
Not necessarily. So I think that's why we want to bring this up because there will be some highly drafted defensive players that just don't really translate for IDP. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to help you try to suss out over these next few months here before your rookie drafts is who's actually worth targeting based on production, traits, measurables, landing spot, draft capital. When we put the whole puzzle together, who actually – you know, do we see some potential production from? So, looks like we have one more defensive tackle here, Addy.
Yeah, Darius Robinson. This is a guy that is rising as of late. He was at the Senior Bowl this week, and a lot of people talking about this guy. I like Dane Brugler's, what he said here in his latest mock. At 6'5", 295, with 35-inch arms, Robinson is the epitome of the first guy off the bus type. He also raised his level of play this season with 14 TFLs. But yeah, this dude is just a freak. He's a monster. Did you guys get a chance to see him at all this week?
Like, I had a little bit of it on Monday, but I haven't been able to watch here the last few days.
Like, he stands out. He's going to be someone that is getting like first round hype, I think, now. So
yeah, he's it looks like DJ's 22nd overall player.
Yeah, and that's pretty new. Like, that wasn't really happening until this past week. So
Okay.
The hype is building around this guy.
Very interesting.
I saw where our boy Brett Coleman was also pretty excited about him.
Okay.
Like the way that he could be used reminded him of like TJ Watt.
Ooh.
No, I'm sorry, JJ Watt.
Also very, man, just don't put him on microphone.
It's still great. It's still great. I mean, JJ Watt, you know, plays inside, plays outside. So if Darius Robbins can be that type, I mean, that would be
so
ideal.
I said 22nd. That was for Byron Murphy. Byron Murphy was DJ's 22nd ranked player. Did he have any kind of ranking on Darius Robinson?
I think he did. He had, yes, he was 32.
32. Okay, I just didn't scroll down far enough. So that's a first round ranking right there. We do have 32 picks in this draft. It's not 31. Thank you, Dolphins, for not screwing that up for us again.
Oh yeah,
that's right. With only 31 picks last year.
Cheated last year.
We did.
Who's
we
the really first person did. Off our bus?
Like, of the three of us?
Me.
Yeah, it's Adam.
Adam's first one.
Because he needs to probably rip a puke because we've been pounding beers.
You got to pee for sure.
That's that would be me. If it's pee, I'm first off the bus and I'm sprinting. It's like, who the hell was that? He's just a blur.
A blur. Really, I've never thought about you in terms of a blur.
White lightning.
No, if I got to pee, white lightning.
That was one of them real slow lightnings that kind of digs in the ground for a while.
The ground lightning. It comes up out of the ground. Let's talk safeties, though, and I mean,
haven't done a ton of safeties.
Yeah, I was gonna say let's just hit some names. It's another and maybe interest anybody that interests you.
Sure,
another one of those deals where it's hard to kind of evaluate these guys before we get draft capital, right?
Yeah,
it's just who knows. Well, they all look great,
and combine data too.
Yeah, combine's important. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, some of the big guys you're gonna hear: Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota.
Noob.
Minnesota's all-time leader in interceptions. Newbin is an alert athletic safety who plays like a wide receiver when the ball is in the air. That's from Dane Brugler. Another safety, Jaden Hicks.
Jordan's brother.
Mm-hmm. Out of Washington State.
Sure enough.
Hicks is 6'2", 215. He is an intimidating presence with the way he fills or tunes up receivers crossing the middle. So that's nice. I like that. I like the size of him. He may be one of these guys that gets us a lot of tackles.
That's a big boy.
And also look at the production, too.
Yeah.
2022 as a freshman, 76 tackles, 2 TFLs, 1 sack. And then as a sophomore, 79 tackles, 6 TFLs, and 2.5 sacks. So that's really nice. Mm. 10 PDs in his over those 2 years as well. So, someone we want to remember, Jaden Hicks, I think. Javon Bullard out of Georgia. Bullard might not be the top tester, but he plays with range and made his presence known in the run game on every tape I studied, said Mr. Brugler. Production was fine, 46 tackles as a sophomore, 56 as a junior. It's Georgia, so, you know, they probably didn't play a ton of snaps like some of these other schools. Caden Bullock is another guy out of USC. Similar story, you know, productive pretty much right away. Came in as a freshman, put up 40 tackles, 48 as a sophomore, 63 as a junior. Bullock is a true center field safety. There are questions about his tackling, but he has outstanding range and budding instincts. Then Cameron Kitchens.
That's a weird name to say.
I'm not sure if it's Kitchens or... I've seen it Kitchens somewhere else. I don't know if people aren't aware that it's...
But spelled like Cameron Curl, though, which is interesting.
That's true.
Let's look up if this is Cameron Kitchens.
Yeah,
or
let's
Kitchens.
Double check that. But I've seen a lot of hype about him lately.
No, it is, in fact, Kitchens.
Wow.
It is Kitchens.
Yep.
All right, cool. He put up and down play on tape, but he has a well-rounded skill set. Strong showing at the Senior Bowl can help him get into round two, says Brugler. Came in as a freshman, put up 44 tackles and 4 PDs. As a sophomore, he had 59 tackles and 6 PDs, 59 tackles and 5 PDs as a junior. And then, yeah, he's leaving, so just a 3-year junior. So he'll be one of those guys, you know, he'll probably be, I'd say, probably a top 3 safety off the board for us in IDP.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a cornerback to round things out from your list.
Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. Daniel Jeremiah has him ranked as 6 overall.
Does he have him in the mock, Bobo? Terrion Arnold?
He definitely
does. Yeah, he does. Denver Broncos, pick 12.
Pick 12, okay.
So that'd be a nice little tandem there with him and Surtain.
Yes, sir.
Arnold has ideal size, speed, and instincts for position. He plays both outside and inside at the nickel. He's effective in press and off coverage. Everything I've been seeing is that he's a physical face-up type tackler.
I just want the guy that's comping to Withemspoon.
Yeah, that's all I want. Exactly.
Show me the next Withemspoon.
I want to see these corners that are physical and scrappy and that and play a lot of nickel. That's what we want.
Yeah. So there you go. Little bit of a safety cornerback rundown. Bobo, you've got some guys here at the bottom. Some looks like some dudes you've been tape dogging on.
Well, you're going to be, before I get to that, you're going to see Kool-Aid McKinstry drafted in every IDP draft for his name alone.
Yes. Kool-Aid Chop.
Probably Nate Wiggins also. Nate Wiggins will be a, he'll be a first-round cornerback.
Cooper Dejean. Love that.
Yeah.
Trademark.
I won't read down through everything that I think about these guys, but just some names to pay attention to. Chris Braswell, edge out of Alabama. Is not quite the elite guy that Dallas Turner is, but just kind of pay attention to him, see what he does in the combine. Jonah Ellis, another edge there out of Utah. Leonard Taylor III. Is that the Taylor that we were talking about?
That Jonah Ellis, though, you know who he is, right?
It's Caden Ellis' son.
It's another Ellis bro.
Is it really?
Yeah, dude.
It's Caden Ellis.
Christian.
It's his brother?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's like four of them.
I was just kidding.
That's amazing. Leonard Taylor III, yeah, Miami defensive lineman. Pay attention to him. I don't know that he's going to have a ton of relevance. We already talked about Byron Murphy. Chris Jenkins Jr., Michigan defensive interior. Brandon Dorless, another defensive interior guy out of Oregon. Marist Liafu, linebacker out of Notre Dame. He might have a little bit of role there for him. I kind of like Liafu a little bit. And then Cedric Gray, linebacker for North Carolina. I think he's kind of a nice little sleeper also. Efficient tackler. He's in the right spots pretty regularly. Can weave through linemen to make plays. Excels in coverage. He does have big play potential. My little baby comp for him, Frankie Luvu.
There we go.
So, there you go.
Just had a YouTube short about Frankie Luvu.
Oh, yeah.
Frankie's going to be a very interesting case study this offseason.
Yeah, he is.
So if we're getting comped for Cedric Gray, I'm paying attention. So there you go, folks.
Braylon Trice, another name I've been seeing a lot of. Yeah. Landon Jackson. Mike Sandstrill. Mm-hmm. He's a cornerback out of Michigan. I've been seeing him get comped to Kenny Moore. So I that made my ears perk up a little bit.
Is there a comp that comes to mind that you're like, oh, boy, this is very juicy? The one that y'all mentioned tonight, Ernest Jones comp. I mean, jumped off
the
page.
That was the one that, yeah, that one caught my eye.
Yeah. That's, for someone who's not as deep in the draft streets, comps are helpful for me to quickly understand, like, what are the draft nicks saying this guy just reminds them of, right? Yeah. It helps me contextualize these guys pretty quickly. So, thank you all.
I told Bob that Leitu reminded me of Jalen Phillips a little bit. And I know that the backstory was similar, too, but just the way they played reminded me of each other. Yeah. Jared Verse kind of reminded me a lot of Kayvon. Mm-hmm. But I also don't know how much that is just him being number five.
Didn't Phillips go to UCLA before he went to Miami?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so that's why.
It could be that as well.
There's going to be a first-round IDP. One of these players is going to really get a bunch of buzz.
I hope it's Cooper Dejean.
Watch him end up in the first round.
He's going to test well. Hey,
people are going to be excited about Cooper.
They put a basketball goal at the combine, and he's doing windmill 360 dunks, and it's like, oh, my God.
And then screaming his birthday.
Shout out to all the birthday boys. Oh, man. Well, there you go, folks. That is now an hour and 20 minutes of Rookie Primer with probably about 10 to 15 minutes of stupidity and mixed in there. But a little bit of a rookie, like we said, primer, just getting you all familiar.
We're hitting it early.
Familiar with some of these names as well. It is February 1st, and we are on the rookie train already. So we're jumping on it a little earlier this year.
This is way earlier than last year, right? I feel like last year we probably didn't hit it until like March, maybe.
Yeah.
So this is intentional. We want to get in front of this as fast as we can. We want to give you guys the best draft coverage of anybody this year.
That way that when we're rolling into the combine, we're like, oh, yeah, we talked about so-and-so earlier on some mock draft episodes, on the primer episode. Look at how he tested.
Exactly.
Like, I think it will be helpful to create a little longer, you know, breadcrumb trail for the listeners of like, oh, I heard that name back in February, and now they're talking about the combine recap. This makes sense.
You're gluten-free, though.
I know. It's gluten-free breadcrumbs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Those are fine. Gluten-free bread, awful. Don't do that. Just eat bread, people.
because it's not worth it.
Yeah, I think this class is going to be sneaky fun. There's going to be some guys to where, you know, you throw your dart in the fourth round. If they hit, fine. If not,
I'm always curious. Y'all have kind of dug in on both sides. Is the offensive or defensive class more fun for fantasy this year?
Offense.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of fun. The receivers are fun, dude.
It's very similar to the 2020 wide receiver class, if you want my opinion.
Okay. There we go.
I think Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers are going to be Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase types pretty quickly.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Romo Odunze is really good. Brock Bowers, you know. And then you got guys like Brian Thomas, Keon Coleman.
Troy Franklin. Troy Franklin. Xavier Leggett, Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell.
Ladd. There's a guy named Ladd.
Ladd McConkey.
That's tearing it up.
Yeah.
I saw him getting a lot of buzz.
I want Ladd and I want Cooper both.
Give me both.
You mean both of them.
Immediate starters on the white team.
And our boy, our Western boy.
Yeah.
Corley.
Malachi Corley.
He's getting like, you know, a lot of these big boards that I've seen. He's like the seventh, eighth wide receiver off the board. That dude's going to, you're going to look up and he's going to be a second, third round draft pick, I feel like.
And we didn't mention a single running back, you know?
Yeah.
Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks. Like, it's talented, dude. There's a talented group of guys. I mean, and these IDPs are going to get pushed down to, like, the third round, I think, this year.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm learning is
be some nice value there.
There will be some nice value.
I think if you're speaking in terms of, like, offensive and defensive drafts, you want the 101 or the 102, because I think those first two wide receivers.
Did you say that because you know I'm at the 103?
I think you need to move up, Josh. I really think you do. Yeah, I think there's a pretty big difference between Malik Nabers and Romo Odunze.
Yeah, I think Nabers and Marv, I don't really see much of a difference between either one of them. They're both sick.
I think it's a very similar situation last year to the whole Bijan and Gibbs conversation where it was like, dude, if you love Bijan and you're willing to come and give me like something stupid just to move back to the 102, I think the Marvin Harrison hype is getting, it's up there and it's going to be awesome. But dude, people are sleeping, I think, a little bit on how good I think Malik Nabers will be in the NFL.
I'm going to hang in at 103 and take Cooper DeShean.
Smart man.
That's a good pick.
There you go, folks. You heard it here first. 103, Cooper DeShean. We've moved him from the fourth up to the 103.
I'll be so pissed.
But yeah, he will. He'll be so furious. He'll immediately be DMing me.
Damn it, Josh. You just set yourself back 5 years.
We are no longer friends.
But I hate it.
Well, y'all stay with us this offseason. We are going to be all over these rookies. We've got some really fun episodes coming up. We're going to be looking at free agents. We're going to have a best ball, way too early best ball draft next week. Adam is finalizing the top 100 of his best ball rankings. That'll go out to, what, probably 350, 400 players for
There's like 450, I think.
There you go. So those will be in the works, but we will debut the top 100 next week along with doing our first best ball draft of the offseason.
The rookie ranks are pretty much ready to go.
Yeah, we'll have those very soon.
These will be constantly updated, obviously, up until like the combine and up until the draft, of course. But for the most part, we have everything in there. I mean, so you can get a lot of info right now. So
yeah, and we'll have those out through the website here very soon as well.
Don't jump out yet, Joshy. Let's just jump into this real quick also, because I was looking at this today. TheIDPShow.com, Adam's Dynasty ranks already have Jared Verse, Dallas Turner in there.
And a new number one,
yeah.
I noticed.
Yeah.
Nick Bosa now, the 101.
I love it.
In the IDP ranks.
I'm a fan.
He's about to have a huge year.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. Dallas Turner right here, edge 12. Jared Verse, edge 14. Kind of bookended by Quinnen Williams right there, overall 15. And then obviously the IDL 1. And then on the other side, we've got Trayvon Walker as the edge 14. So you see a lot of upside with Verse and Turner.
I think so, man. I mean, they check a lot of boxes, and I expect them to be drafted highly. I expect them to show out very well at the combine. I mean, they remind me a lot of these
what's
guys.
Not to like?
Mean, yeah, I mean, it's
show me a red flag for either of those two guys right now.
Yeah, there's nothing that I watched that I was like, oh, this guy I'm worried about. You know,
agreed.
Like they all pass the test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with edge rushers, I don't mind being in early because I think we've seen with the Will Andersons.
I'm pretty confident in my edge rushing, scouting, whatever, ability. Like, we've done a really good job with the edge rushers.
Great eye for talent. You were ahead of the curve on the Jalen Phillips train.
Brian Burns. I mean, even like Aiden
Hutchinson.
Like, I had no problems putting Aiden like immediately into the top 10. Same with Kayvon. Like, we've had these guys like high and
and the way Aiden finished the season.
Yeah.
You could make a case top five for Aiden Hutchinson. And I mean, he has had a phenomenal end to the season.
Four for me.
I think
there you go.
How you're going to see the running backs fall, you're going to see Verse and Turner rise in these IDP drafts. I think it's always possible that
IDP could sneak into the first round.
Yes.
So
Nick Bosa, Micah Parsons, Max Crosby, Aiden Hutchinson, Will Anderson.
Speak to that real quick. Micah falling just because
are we ever going to see him get over 15 sacks or consistently? Like, are we going to see like multiple 15 plus sack seasons? I don't know. Mm-hmm. We haven't yet. And we've seen Bosa just kind of look like one of these guys that's going to be just dominant for a long time. And I don't know. It feels like it's easier for him to get two sacks in a game than it is for Micah.
Yeah.
Easier for teams to scheme against Micah than Bosa.
Scheme him out.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, I'm just going to roll with Bosa, I think.
I like that.
I don't know.
They're both great.
That's a fun exercise because I think I might have Max at one.
Yeah, they're all there, man. I mean, I'm not going to argue with anybody. Like, if you want to order it how you want to.
If you wanted to even put Aiden at one, I would not fault you.
Put Will Anderson at one.
Why not?
Age-wise. I mean,
he might. What are you going to do if he has 15 sacks this next season?
He had
a
really good rookie season.
You saw everything you wanted from Will Anderson in year one.
And we know they're going to continue to build that defense. Like, he's going to get more help. Like, that team has got some nice juice.
Great head coach. We don't care.
Yeah, yep. Put Grenard up there.
Rise him up.
All right, this is turning into a Lord of the Rings ending here where I'm trying to land the plane and the guy's like, let's talk about. But it's fun. This is good. This is what y'all are here for. Stick around. We are going to be, like I said, hitting all the fun topics here the rest of this month and the rest of this offseason. The train never stops here at the IDP show. We'll have some writing from all of our new cast of writers. Jason King's first article, A Free Agent Edge. Preview is up on the website right now. You can read that for free. We will have some content coming from Mikey Dubs soon as well. We will have Scott Soltis doing some stuff for us as well later this month. So stick around, folks. Make sure you're subscribed to the website, theidpshow.com. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, and check us out on YouTube. The after show is over there. We're going to have one more episode of IDP Bets for the Super Bowl. The trade show will be ramping up here either the end of this month or beginning of March with Steve Falco as the new host of that show. So make sure you're tuned in. We're doing some really cool stuff. We want this offseason to be fun. It is fun. So come ride with us because we are going to have a blast here in 2024. But boys, any final parting words here before we sign off? Good work tonight. I'm proud of both of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, come check us out. I'm looking at the ranks right now. I have over 65 IDP only rookies in the ranks right now. We have Superflex, Titan Premium, IDP rookie ranks as well. That's combined. So, I mean, there's no one else doing that.
This is the Cooper DeGene of rookie IDP analyst right now.
Can't disagree.
Rising up the ranks, truly.
Little Birdie told me combined ranks are coming back, so
that's the rumor. That's what
streets are talking. So stay tuned.
Also, don't be out there simping, guys. Don't do it.
Bad week for
really
simps.
Bad looks out there for a lot of you.
But it's a good
really
week
shame.
And a good off season for the IDP show. Make sure y'all subscribe. And until next week, y'all take care. And we'll see you soon.